Yeah, Isaac, can you hear us okay?
I can now, yes.
Okay, terrific. Thank you very much. Okay. We will get this Board of Commissioners meeting started this January 17th at 2 p.m. Is there anyone that would like to give us a prayer reading or thought and lead us in the pledge?
This week.
Okay, we've got a pledge. I'm happy to say the prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we come before thee this day, we're thankful for the many blessings we have received. We're grateful for this moisture and the women and men that help plow the roads and respond to accidents and things that happen as a result of it. We're grateful for the moisture and pray for more. At this time, we pray a blessing upon us as we meet today, that we might be open-minded and understanding of the needs of those in Utah County, and we might be able to make the correct decisions for all of those that reside here in our county. We're grateful for all we have and say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand and recite the pledge with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Ezra. Thank you, everyone. We have a work session today, and we've invited our deputy mayor from Provo, Isaac Paxman, who is... As many of you know, the session started yesterday, so he's joining us via Zoom from the Capitol. And so he is going to talk to us about some of the things that are going on, give us a 5 to 10 minute little update on what's happening with the homelessness community here in Utah County. So, Isaac, thank you so much for being with us today.
Happy to be here. Hope you can hear me well. Let me know if not. So I think it's useful to just understand I'm here actually as kind of a member of the Winter Response Task Force. That's a task force that the legislature required Utah County elected officials to organize. And so through the COG, the Council of Governments, that happened and Provo got a seat on it and the mayor has designated me to fill that seat. So I'm here in that capacity. And I think it's useful to recall or refresh that there's two main legal provisions that were in this law that came out last year that I think we're dealing with. One says that when it hits 15 degrees, the state's going to call it a code blue. It'll be a code blue alert. And any facility can open up to keep people warm through the night, as long as they meet fire and building code. Zoning doesn't matter. Cities can't do anything, county can't do anything, local governments can't do anything to stop it if they wanted to. That's just the lay of the land legally. So what we've seen in the last little while, and I'll get to we'll get to the second point, and if I don't, remind me. But so we have some churches that wanted to open, and they this week are beginning opening as warming centers. We have the Provo Community Congregational United Church of Christ. They were open on Sunday and they had maybe 15 people there. Some stay the night. And then we have the Genesis Project. That's a little facility near the Food and Care Coalition in Provo, kind of by the big post office too, if people know where that is. And they're opening Monday and Tuesday. And then you've got the Seventh-day Adventists. Their first night opening will be tomorrow night. So they're also involved. And this is something they've kind of been working on with the Continuum of Care representatives and others to provide that solution. I will add that there have been efforts similar to this here in the county and mostly in Provo. For a long time. This is a new iteration based on that law that came out, but there have been ways to get people housed. What I hear from people who work on the streets is we've always been able to give someone an option. It's usually a hotel voucher. And now there's this new new opportunity that's happening. So that's what's happening with the warming centers. They are only for overnight, then they close their doors in the morning. People are taken or given away to get to the Food and Care Coalition for breakfast or somewhere else for breakfast, and they go on from there. I should probably mention there's a letter that's circulated from our Downtown Business Alliance called Downtown Provo Inc. that really calls on the task force and all elected officials in the county to ensure that we preserve what we have in downtown. They cite over $200 million in revenue that comes in through downtown every year. They cite the compliments they get on what we do. We've been providing services in this area for a long time. We have a wonderful community, people who want to volunteer and help and take care of people. But we've managed to avoid a situation that would flip this area in a negative way. And they want us to keep an eye on that. And they want to emphasize that it's a countywide effort, and they hope that we'll work on spreading this around and making sure we don't let one little zone take it all and one city take it all. And that's certainly a message that we've heard from others, that this is something the county is well equipped to lead out on. You, I'm sure, know that cities don't have health departments. That's a county function. And other things, you look at Wasatch behavioral health, that's kind of run through the county. So if you look at all the layers of government, who's best equipped to address providing human services and who kind of naturally does that fall to? It is the county. So we appreciate that we've had support from Commissioner Sakovich when he was on the task force and now Commissioner Gordon on the task force. And we do look to you to take a leadership role and help make sure that we do this well, we do this right, we meet these requirements in the state. But we do it with an eye on fairness throughout the county, on sharing what's here, sharing the responsibility and that type of thing. So we appreciate the support we've had on that. The second aspect of this law was that by August 1st, this task force needs to come up with a plan to ensure there's a roof overhead, not just on Code Blue night, but every night, October 15th, 2024 through April 30th, 2025. And then we're supposed to do it again the next year. We have to submit that plan. That's a new animal to deal with. That's okay, we're going to make sure you have a roof overhead, and that's what we need to do. They'll give us a number by, I think it's March, end of March, they'll give us the number of people we need to be able to accommodate every evening. But that's a pretty good, I think, hopefully, overview of what we're dealing with, and I am probably running a little low on my battery. I apologize if it goes black. That's not intentional. It's just the end of the line on my battery. But I'm happy to try to take any questions at this point or comments.
Thank you for that. We had a meeting yesterday afternoon here at the county, and as I grabbed the baton from Commissioner Sakovich, as you mentioned, we'll try to keep the momentum going in the right direction and mm-hmm. and doing everything we can. Do you have anything you want to add, Commissioner?
No, he it's been well covered, and as he outlined, we've been working this issue for many months, so, and years actually. It's been working very well, even without the oversight that we had previously. So I think it's been going very, very well. So thank you.
Thanks for that. Yesterday in a conversation with Commissioner Gardner, she mentioned, like, we are doing so much. I appreciated you highlighting that, Isaac, that the county, we can't even begin to start to name all of the organizations, because there really are a lot of groups that do a lot of heavy lifting with our homeless community. And so, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And when we look at the ones that we directly fund, right, like Wasatch Behavioral Health, the three of us that on the authority board for, and the Board of Health, and the Health Department, but then, like you said, there's all of the organizations that we would be remiss if we didn't mention. I'm sure we'll miss out some, but anything we're doing for food security is for homelessness, because anytime someone doesn't have to choose between paying rent and paying for a meal, that's helping homelessness. Anytime we're getting someone the help they need through one of the myriad of free clinics that we help fund, they're not having to choose between healthcare and paying for a home. And we've been doing many of these for over 50 years. It's just we don't advertise it.
Yep.
So thank you.
Okay. Anything more from anyone? If not, appreciate your time, Isaac. Thank you for being with us today.
Thanks, Isaac.
Thank you very much. Okay, see ya.
Thank you. Okay. We will now build our consent agenda, and I will begin by asking if there are any items between 1 and 9 that you would like to hold. I would like to hold item 5.
I was going to say, and I think item number 6, Ezra has an update for us.
And can we also hold item 4 or just continue that for 2 weeks? Item 6 is a redevelopment agreement that we've been working with Provo City on. I just wanted to give the progress on that. They've verbally agreed to some of the concerns that we've raised here, increasing the amount of the agreement, increasing the contribution to the the affordable housing component for that CRA, and then also adding the administrative fee. So that'll be a practice going forward we have for our CRAs. We just need to finalize the language for the administration of that admin fee, and then we'll have that ready by January 31st.
Okay. So continue item number 4 for 2 weeks.
As well, yeah.
Separately. And then item number 6 was the one you were saying that you're fine leaving it on consent, but we're still working on language.
Continue that for 2 weeks.
Oh, continue that for 2 weeks as well. So both 4 and 6 continue for 2 weeks.
And on item number 4, we're just kind of revising how we account for this service that we provide for the convention center.
Okay.
Okay. So continue 4, continue 6. Any others in that group?
I have no.
We're going to hold 5, right?
Holding 5, yes, please. Okay.
I didn't have any others.
Okay. 10 through 19. I don't have any.
Nope. I'm very familiar with all of these.
Okay. How about 26?
And those change orders, I've seen those from before, somewhere. So I don't see. I have no concerns with the others.
Okay. And any closed agenda items from Ralph or anyone? Okay, so we can strike the 4 closed sessions.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I have us holding, continuing agenda item number 4 for 2 weeks, which is the January 31st meeting. Holding 5, continuing 6, also 2 weeks to January 31st. And then as far as the closed meetings, we're striking all. So we're striking 27, 28, 29, and 30.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. On item 5, this is a resolution in opposition of the creation of natural asset companies to be listed on the New York Stock Exchange directed. Also, this is information directed to the Security and Exchange Commission, the SEC. And I'll read a little bit of this. It is 12 pages, so I won't read it all. But whereas on October 4th, 2023, the Securities and Exchange Commission issued a proposed rule to approve the creation of a new investment vehicle, the Natural Asset Company, NACs. This new vehicle was created by the Intrinsic Exchange Group, IEG, in partnership with the New York Stock Exchange. The IEG was founded by the Rockefeller Foundation with supporting partners, including international environmental organizations such as World Wildlife Fund. And whereas the purpose for this new investment product is to provide a vehicle for domestic and foreign investors and governments to profit from the protection of our nation's natural resources under the guise of combating the so-called climate crisis. These same proponents have been calling for the permanent protection of at least 30% of the world's lands and oceans by 2030, the 30 by 30 agenda. These same actors are also pushing net zero and decarbonization policies that are threatening jobs, energy supplies, and quality of life around the world. Their objective is not the conservation of the land. They seek total political and financial control of the world's natural resources, particularly those of the United States. Whereas Utah County Utah has reviewed the Federal Register notice containing the proposed rule, and the county has several concerns regarding this proposed rule and its stated purpose. Whereas the county encourages the responsible and appropriate development use of natural resources to promote economic development for the benefit of its citizenry and to support the state of Utah's energy plan and the energy policies within the Utah County Resource Management Plan. Further, the state of Utah has adopted an any of the above energy approach, meaning the state supports all forms of responsible energy production, both conventional and renewable. To date, this any of the above energy policy has served Utahns well, and the Utah County supports all reasonable forms of energy development and generation available within its borders and within the borders of the state of Utah. Whereas, in support of the energy policies above, responsible and non-burdensome regulation is necessary to ensure the continued success of the county's natural resources, industries, activities. And then in conclusion, on the conclusion, in summation, the citizens of Utah County, as well as the state of Utah and the United States as a whole, will continue to benefit as the SEC fulfills its three-part mission to protect investors, maintain fair, orderly, and efficient markets, and facilitate capital formation. As an overarching goal, the state of Utah and Utah County support the wise use, conservation, and protection of public lands and their resources, including well-planned management prescriptions. Thus, it is the county's position that public lands be managed for multiple use, sustained yield, prevention of waste of natural resources, and to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. It is important to the county's economy that public lands be properly managed for fish, wildlife, livestock production, timber harvest, recreation, energy production, mineral extraction, water resources, and preservation of natural, scenic, scientific, and historical values. Instead of sticking to its mission of regulating securities, it appears that the SEC is allowing the New York Stock Exchange and itself to venture outside its rulemaking authority, arbitrarily and capriciously into areas of ESG, which is about controlling and forcing behaviors. It attempts to do through capital markets what activists and other and their government allies have been unable to do through the democratic process. It is a political ploy that, intentional or not, can result in market participants using economic force to drive a political agenda. With the issuance of the proposed rule the SEC is proposing, the final step necessary to rob the American people of their property and natural rights and playing right into the hands of foreign adversaries. The county encourages the SEC to immediately reconsider and abandon its proposed course of action. This resolution resolved and ordered this 17th day of January 2024, Board of Utah County Commissioners. Anything either of you would like to add?
I would like to just send a big thank you to our state treasurer, Marlo Oakes, for being the leader on this movement nationally, who realized what the SEC was trying to do and has rallied forces and successfully lobbied the SEC to reopen the timeline, giving us even the opportunity to submit this, because they did it over the holidays when nobody was paying attention, and he rallied national support to get the SEC to reopen, giving us the opportunity to submit this. I fully support this resolution, and I'm excited that we are going to have the opportunity to give a comment to the SEC to let them know that in our county, we don't want foreign entities or private entities controlling the land, that we would prefer that public land be controlled by public entities.
Thank you.
Well said. It seems like no matter where you turn, there's an effort to subvert citizen responsibilities at local and national levels. And every time we seem to run into this, it's a repeat of something prior to. But we have had this before, and it's a burden to even have to address it in the first place. We've already addressed it. It's been addressed. And here we go again. It just shows the need to have a constant vigilance over what we say we own as personal rights, personal properties. And but I'm grateful for this voice. So thank you for bringing this forward. Thank you.
Okay, great. I think I'm hearing voices of support in a meeting last week in land conservation. You know, yeah. It was very evident that, you know, there's a lot of movement from outside countries to be able to purchase a lot of our conservation, yes, easements. And wouldn't they love to own, you know, say the Gordon Farm in yeah. west of Spanish Fork, Utah, right? Yeah. They'd come in and buy it up, and then we don't want other countries owning that. We should, if it was my father's desire or family's desire to conserve it, we want to make sure we know who is holding the bag, correct?
Exactly.
So thank you for allowing us to scramble and get this on the agenda and help from our attorney's office to make sure we are getting this right and getting this message out, as we, sounds like we stand united with many other leaders in Utah against this. So
constant vigilance. I think I heard the phrase a few times before, but yes.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. I will entertain a motion on that.
I will make that motion that we approve.
Okay.
And I can second that motion.
Okay. Motion is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, sorry to interrupt. It's been requested to bring number 7 back on for consideration to just clarify some dates on the schedule of the Board of Commissioners and the Board of Equalization.
Okay. Anyone have any issues
motion
with that?
To do that?
Yeah, I will move to reconsider item number 7.
Okay. Motion?
Second.
And a second. All in favor say aye.
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 We just need to add the Board of Equalization meeting should also switch to the 31st. We actually will need a meeting that day. So,
all right. So moved.
Perfect.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Okay. Thank you very much. That's satisfactory to you? Okay. Terrific. Now is the moment of our meeting when we have public comment. Is there anyone from the public that would like to address the commission?
Mr. Chairman, Board of Commissioners, Paul Jones here, the Attorney's Office. My heartfelt apologies. This is the only appropriate time I can think to bring this up. More than 4 weeks ago, the Utah County Community Reinvestment Agency, so not the Board of Commissioners, but the Community Reinvestment Agency noticed today would be a day where you would consider or you would hold a public hearing on the proposed budget for the Community Reinvestment Agency. And so normally we would have given you ample notice to the clerk's office. My apologies. We have a member of the property owners has flown in from Portland to attend, and so it's requested that we would hold that. It is properly noticed. I just know it wasn't on our radar for today, but after this meeting, it's my recommendation that we hold that public hearing, and it should only take a few minutes.
Okay. And that would be immediately following this meeting?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Seeing no public comment then in commission meeting, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. And now we will enter into, what am I calling it? CRA?
Community Reinvestment. Yeah. So it's here. It says it.